This is Digital Story Podcast number 689, May 28th, 2019. Today's theme is Getting Ready for Summer. I'm Derek Story. The fast approaching summer season means more for photographers than just swapping our wardrobe in the closet. Our gear changes as well. And some of the items that I suggest might surprise you, even more than Uncle Bob's flamboyant Hawaiian shirt. So break out the sunblock and don your shades. It's time to get ready for long days and warm nights. What does summer mean for me? Well, at least as a photographer, it means impossible midday lighting. It's funny, that's one of the first things that comes to my mind, right? But also longer days, which is great. That means more shooting, more bike rides, travel, hiking, outdoor events. You know, the party moves outside for graduation, birthday parties, weddings, all that kind of stuff. This also requires a few adjustments in our gear. And I have 5 suggestions for you so that as you transition into summer shooting, you'll be ready and you'll have the things that you need so you come away with excellent images. Now, the first item, well, I don't think it'll surprise you, but it's amazing at how often these two things get left behind, and that is polarizers and ND filters. And for some reason, we don't like carrying these with us all the time. Maybe because, you know, we have multiple polarizers or multiple ND filters and, you know, they really start to take up extra room in our camera bag and so forth. And we can get away with that in the winter unless we're shooting, you know, flowing water shots or something like that. But in the summer, and especially polarizers, we need them to tone down reflections. We need them to deepen our blue skies so they look more attractive. And then, of course, in this bright light, there are times that we want to shoot at a wider aperture, you know, to maybe minimize the depth of field. And these filters are very helpful for all of these things. The polarizer in particular, the ND can help with the wider aperture shooting. Now, a polarizer gives you 2 stops of density, so that's pretty nice. So, for instance, if you're metering and because of your top shutter speed and all this kind of stuff, that you can only get to f5.6, for example, as your widest aperture, and you want it a little wider than that because you want a little less depth of field or at least detail in the background, then if you put a polarizer on, then you can go all the way down to f2.8. The difference between f2.8 and f5.6 for backgrounds can be tremendous. So this is just one of the areas that having that handy polarizer is helpful. I have this beautiful portrait figured out here. I've solved all the other problems, and all I need to do now is soften that background a bit more, whip out the polarizer, whip out that ND filter that you have with you, open up that aperture a bit more, and get it exactly the way that you want. My second item, I think, will surprise you for summer shooting, and that is fill flash. Now, I just posted an article a couple days ago on the Digital Story, you know, to fill flash or not, that is the question. And what my thinking was that actually, in these conditions, fill flash is more important for me than during the cooler, darker months. And the reason being is that we find ourselves taking snapshots and portraits outside in pretty bright light and pretty contrasty light. And remember, the sun is much higher in the summer, higher in the sky than it is in the winter. And so this sun up high, very contrasty, often creates what I call unflattering shadows on one's face. The eye sockets get dark, you know what I'm talking about. And so a fill flash can really help with this because, you know, we have this unflattering strong light coming from the top. So if we bring in a more flattering light from the front to offset that and to open up those areas, right, to open up those eye sockets, to smooth out those shadows caused by the nose and so forth, then suddenly the pictures will look a lot better. And because everything is so bright already, we don't even have to worry about diffusing the light out of the flash. We can just, you know, let it go head on. I've noticed that I like the color of the skin much better when the fill flash is, you know, coming directly in and then working with the ambient lighting, however horrible that ambient lighting can be. So I actually use fill flash, or I actually use a flash in general, a lot more during the bright, contrasty summer months than I do in the softer, more even lighting of the winter months. And a lot of times, if I'm doing an outdoor event, whether casual or professionally, I'll just go ahead and mount the flash on the camera and just have it there, even if I'm not planning on using it right away. But it's just a lot easier than to fire it up. Now, by the way, I'll put a link to the Metz flash that I use, because this little pocket unit is really terrific. It's got good power. It comes in models for basically all the cameras, including, you know, the mirrorless, you know, Olympus and all those. It lays down kind of flat over the top when you're not using it. Then it comes up at angles, you know, just going up vertically as needed. And I've just found that it's a terrific addition, because it walks that line between being compact but yet powerful enough, and staying out of the way, yet being right there when I need it. So I'll put the link to it in the show notes. It's about $120. It's a pocket flash that rotates up and down. And if you're looking for a flash that's less cumbersome, but provides that nice fill flash that you need, especially remember, it goes up a little bit, so it's moving the lighting away from the lens, which is very important, I think. It looks better. Then take a look at this flash. I think you'll like it. Regardless of what type of flash you have, you want to have it with you during the summer months. And remember, just like everything else in our nimble world, the more compact and the easier it is to bring along, and the more manageable it is on the shoot, the more likely you are to use it. So if you've got a big flash that's cumbersome, you're probably leaving it at home because you don't like it. That means to me that it's time to get something that's a little bit more compact, a little bit more nimble, so that when you are in those conditions where fill flash can really help you, you'll use it. Item number 3, collapsible diffusers and reflectors. And again, summer, oh, so important. My favorite kit is the 5-in-1 kits, and I like a nice big diameter, like the 36-inch diameter collapsible reflectors, because you have the reflectors that zip on to the outside, and then you take off the cover, you know, which has a total of 4 sides, right? Because it's reversible. You take off the cover, and then you have a nice big diffuser. And using a diffuser for headshots in bright, contrasty lighting can really save the day. And I have used it time and time again, and just thinking, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I remembered to bring this. And I just used it the other day on a commercial shoot. We were out in the middle of no shade anywhereville. And I needed to do this kind of this tight portrait. It was one of the shots that was on the shot list. So I had someone hold up the diffuser. We diffused the bright light coming in from the sun at a high angle. The light that ended up on the photo subject herself was absolutely beautiful because of the diffusion, and I was able to come away with a very nice shot. These things are incredibly useful in this kind of lighting. Now, the other time that they come in handy is to use as a fill light. Just as I was talking about fill flash earlier and how it can help offset, you know, the effects of high contrasty light source, well, a diffuser or a reflector can do the same thing. And you don't use the really bright metallic silver for this purpose, because first of all, you'll blind your subject and then they won't be able to see. And that's not a very good portrait. But second of all, I think it's a little too hot for this time of year. I use the super shiny surfaces for when, you know, the light's a little lower and a little softer. But the reflective white surfaces that are less harsh work very nice for fill light, and all you have to do is position that white reflector on the opposite side of the main light. So if the sun is coming in from one angle, put the reflector on the other side and bounce it in to the face or to the side of the object that is not getting the main light. And that'll help soften the shadows, and that'll help make everything look a little bit better. It'll help brighten up the eyes if that's an issue with this. So a reflector can be used in a very similar way as a fill flash. Now, the difference between the two is the quality of light. You have more control over the quality of light with the reflector. But at the same time, a fill flash can be just a one-person operation because you have the flash on the camera, it's just you. Whereas most of the time with a reflector, you're going to have to get someone to help you to hold the reflector. So I make sure that I have both the fill flash and the reflector available to me. Depending on the circumstances, then I can pick the most appropriate one. But having that diffuser slash reflector with you, I think, is very important because there are shoots where they will make the world of difference. And believe me, your shot, no matter how casual, no matter how fun, no matter how family, can look tons better, can look professional just by using one of these two items. And family members and friends and clients will be so thankful. Not to mention the subject, him or herself, right? Item number four is a pocketable all-weather camera. I'm so high on these, and the announcement of the new Olympus Tough TG6 got me all excited again. So I have right now a TG4, which I like a lot, but the TG4 is the one that has the higher megapixel count and the smaller photo sites. The camera that came out after the one I have, that's where they moved it down to 12 megapixels to improve the image quality, and it really worked, you know, making the photo sites bigger. Now with the Olympus TG6, by the way, I did an article of, you know, five features on this camera that you might not be aware of that are just killer. One of those features is it has the same processing pipeline, the same processor as in the EM1 10. So, I mean, that is quite a processor. It does things like focus stacking. It has microscope mode. I mean, it goes underwater, right? You don't even have to have a housing with it or anything. It's drop proof, all these things, right? So the nice thing about having a pocketable all-weather camera, whether it's the new TG6 or it's another brand, and there are many excellent ones out there, is that then you can have a quality capture device in your pocket, any pocket, board shorts, biking shorts, whatever, at all times, and know that regardless of the conditions, regardless of where you are, you can get a quality photograph. And I think that's really nice. Another thing that I like about a camera like this is that it adds GPS location data to the images. So the only device that I have that I use regularly that does that is my iPhone. And I, you know, love that the iPhone does that, but I also love that my pocket camera does it as well, because that way, now I'm shooting, a bit more serious, a bit more versatility. Obviously, I'm not going to, you know, jump in the water and go snorkeling with my iPhone, whereas I can do that with the TG6 or the TG5. So, you know, these cameras are just super versatile. They're made for this time of year. I just love having them. I love having, you know, all the information that they have, you know, in terms of, you know, location data and all that. You can even, you know, pull up an info panel and it'll give you, all the data that it's recording in addition to the picture data. So that's pretty fun stuff. And quite honestly, if I were to try to walk around with an EM1 in my board shorts, it would probably lead to an embarrassing situation. So I'd rather go with something that's far lighter and far more compact, a pocketable all-weather camera. Just talk to anyone that has one that's the right fit for them. Is an investment that will cost you between $400 and $450. And I hardly ever hear anyone say, "Duh, I wish I hadn't spent the money on that." It's almost always the opposite, which is, "I love this camera. I love shooting with it, and I love the pictures that it gives me." And finally, shades, hat, sunblock, and water. And the thinking here is that you have to protect yourself and be comfortable in the elements if you want the creative juices to flow. So if you're dehydrated, if you're baked, if you're uncomfortable, if you're not feeling well, you are not going to be as creative and you're not going to take as good of shots. And I think the first thing that you want to do is find a water bottle that works with your kit. Now, I carry a different kit in the summer in terms of the bag, of especially for my personal stuff, than I do in the winter. And I like a nice little light backpack that I carry. I have a Low Pro backpack, I think it's called a hatchback, and it is a great backpack. And one of the things that it has on it is two mesh pockets on the side. So I can carry not one, but two water bottles if I need. My camera gear goes inside, and then I have enough room for lunch and all that kind of stuff. And it's, you know, this is like summery blue backpack, and it's light, and it breathes, you know, all that good stuff. And I have water bottles that work perfectly with that backpack. You know, in other words, they are a fit. They are a pair, so to speak. And I just think it's really important to make sure that you have water with you all the time when you're out working in the heat so that you stay hydrated. And then that way you'll be much more productive as a photographer. The hat, you know, you want to keep the sun out of your eyes. You want to, you know, help protect yourself from burn. I just keep a sunblock tube in my camera bag in the summer. You know, I get the smaller tubes that are easy to carry around. They don't take up much room. But yet, if I find myself out, you know, I've been out in the sun for a number of hours, and the application that I put on in the morning before I left the house has worn off, then I can reapply in the middle of the day or later in the day with the tube that I have with me, and again, help protect my skin and help prevent burn. And then, you know, the good thing about really nice shades, especially when they're working with a hat that's appropriate, is that the world just looks better. The world looks better through nice polarized sunglasses. It's more attractive, and then suddenly you're more motivated to take pictures. I mean, all these things work together. So in addition to the camera gear that I've talked about, make sure that you have your shades, your hat, your sunblock, and your water. If you have those things and use them appropriately, I guarantee you will take more pictures and they will be of higher quality. Now, you may have some additional tips for summer activities. If you do, share them, please, on our Facebook page where I post this podcast announcement. I always, you know, each week that I publish the podcast, I always make sure there's a Facebook post to go with it. Go over there and add your summer tips as well. And then that way we can have a nice body of work and everyone can be prepared and we can go out there, take advantage of this wonderful season for photography and come away with great images. Show off your gallery on your smartphone. The fact of the matter is that most of us spend more time on our smartphones than we do on our computers. And I mean, I'm okay with that because usually if I'm on my smartphone, that means I'm out and about and I'm doing something interesting. If I'm on my computer, I'm in the studio and I'm at work. So I'm okay with spending a bit more time on my smartphone. But then it only makes sense that if we're going to use our phones and we're out and about, then we should have quick access to our best images on our smartphones as well. Now, I've talked about Portfolio Box and how good it is at presenting your images as a gallery on your computer. And I mean, my stuff looks better on a Portfolio Box site than it does anywhere else. The thing that I haven't talked as much about is that it looks just as good on my smartphone. So this is the best way for me to share my best shots is Portfolio Box on my smartphone as well. Now, the thing that you can do so that you don't have to go to your web browser and then find the bookmark or enter the URL or that kind of stuff, create a home screen icon, then all you have to do is tap on that icon. It's right there on your home screen. and then it'll take you right to your portfolio box site, which is really wonderful when you're talking with somebody or, you know, let's say that you meet another photographer or you meet someone that's interested in your photography and you want to show them your best stuff right then. You don't want to, you know, mess around. You want to get right to it. Then if you have your portfolio box icon on your home screen, then you can go right to it and start showing them images, and the whole thing has a nice flow to it. Now, this is easy to do, and it works on both Android and iOS devices. So if you have an iOS device, all you have to do is open the Safari browser, go to your portfolio box site, you know, enter in the URL or however you do it. When the site comes up, then go down to the share button that's at the bottom of the interface. And when you tap on the share button, you'll have a number of options, and one of them will be add to home screen. That's one of the options that'll be presented. Go ahead and tap on that. A little dialog will come up where you can give it a name. I just give mine portfolio box, just the one word, because that fits with the icon on the home screen. And then you click done. So now what happens is you have an actual portfolio box icon on your home screen, and then all you have to do is tap it and your site comes right up. You don't have to launch the browser. You don't have to look for a bookmark. You don't have to do anything. For Android users, it's essentially the same process. You use Google Chrome browser for this. You know, you bring up your portfolio box website there, right? And then you tap on the menu button, add to home screen, and it's the same thing. And then you end up with that same icon that takes you directly to your online gallery. Now, Portfolio Box is designed to look good on mobile devices as well as your computer screen. And if you haven't experienced this yet, you know, pull up your site or pull up my site, DerekStoryPhotography.com, and just marvel at how good it looks. And the way my site is designed, that, you know, the gallery comes up, and then if I tap on one of the pictures, I get a nice enlargement of it, and the rest of the gallery screen, you know, kind of, you know, grays out a little bit, you know, like it has a diffusion screen over it, and the image that I'm looking at comes forward and looks really nice. And then you can swipe to go to image, or you can tap on one of the other shots. Really beautiful. And of course, the image quality is fantastic. So keep in mind that your portfolio box gallery can look really good on your smartphone. All you have to do is just spend a couple minutes getting it all set up so that you can go right to it when someone asks you, hey, you're a photographer. Do you have any shots you can show me? As a matter of fact, I do. I do. Let me show you right now. The best way to present yourself online, on your phone, on your computer screen, is with a portfolio box site. Now, to create your own portfolio box site, all you have to do is click on the link that's on all the pages of Digital Story to get started, or the link that's in the show notes. Now, you want to do this regardless if you're setting up a free site or you're doing a pro site, because if you start with that portfolio box link, or the tile and all the pages of the Digital Story, then if you decide to upgrade to a pro site later on, you'll save 20% off the $83 annual price. And with that $83 annual price, and that's full price, remember, you get 20% off that, right? That's pretty nice. With that Portfolio Box Pro subscription, then you also get your custom domain name, you get additional storage, you get all the tools that are available to make yourself look fantastic online. A big thanks to Portfolio Box for sponsoring this show. They look as good on your smartphone as they do on your computer. This is the way to present your best work to the world. Camera-friendly Canadian airport cuts holes in perimeter fence for aviation photographers. I just thought this was a cool story. I found it on DP Review, and I have a link to the full story in the show notes, so you can click on it and go over there. Let me read you a bit about this, because I just love what these guys did. So in Quebec City, their international airport, it has made camera holes in a range of locations around its perimeter fence to allow photographers an unhindered view of planes taking off, landing, and moving along its runways and taxi areas. The airport has propelled itself to number one spot for aviation photographers with this project. Metal frames surround the holes to prevent wire scratching lenses, and accompanying signs to clarify this area is reserved for photographers. The airport got together with local plane spotting group, YQB Aviation, to identify the best angles for photographers and then created a total of 10 sites all around the airport to provide views of exactly what photographers want to shoot. And, you know, so often we are like shooed away, or, you know, we're told that we can't take pictures, or, you know, the world is always putting up barriers to us getting our work done. And to actually have this airport in Quebec City do something for us and work with an aviation group to not only do something for us, but make it good, make it really useful, I just think that's a great story. I want to go to this airport. I want to take pictures there. I need to find a reason to fly to Quebec City and experience this. So anyone that has done this and wants to comment on it, make sure you go to our Facebook page and comment about this. I just think this is fantastic. I want to see more of this. This is the kind of stuff that promotes goodwill, good business, and good photography. Do you have a film camera that needs a good home? Over the last year, I have received donations from TDS members who have film cameras that need a good home. You know, they're sitting there in the closet, they're in a drawer. They were great companions a couple decades ago, and they really haven't been used much since. However, there are lots of people right now, and especially college students who are taking film photography classes, who would love to have these cameras. So what I do is I inspect the items, I repair them, I clean them, I take care of them, and, you know, bring them back to life best I can. And then I list them in the film camera shop where I can find a good home for them. And the nice thing is that, you know, it does take some time to bring these things back. It does take money to film test them and to process that film and then to ensure that they're working properly. But for the cameras that are donated from members of our virtual camera club, I can do that and still keep the price down and sell them for about the same price as you would get a crappy untested model on eBay. This is much better for the person that needs that camera. A lot of times when a photography student is buying a camera from the film camera shop, they need it in a hurry. They just found out that they need to buy a camera. They need to have it by the end of the week for class or whatever. They don't have time to fool around with a camera that may or may not work. When they buy from our shop, it will work when they get it. And if it doesn't work, we will send them another camera if something goes wrong. Things do go wrong sometimes with older cameras. We will stand behind that too. Your participation by donating cameras helps make this process affordable for everyone involved. And it's a nice way to support everything that we're doing, to support our virtual camera club, the podcasts, and all these different activities that we're doing. If you want to contribute, if you have something that you can contribute to the Film Camera Shop, just use the contact form on The Nimble Photographer, thenimblephotographer.com. Use that contact form, get in touch with me, let me know what you have, and we'll figure out a way to make it happen. And to everyone that has helped with this project, thank you so much. I appreciate it, and a lot of film photographers out there appreciate it as well. Just a couple updates. I want to let you know that we have sold out for the Humboldt Redwoods workshop. We've got a great crew. I'm so excited. We have Sonoma Coast coming up here. Oh, not soon enough as far as I'm concerned. It'll be coming up in July, and then we'll be out in the Redwoods in September. And I'm going to start working now on next year's workshop season. So if you have suggestions anytime for a workshop, or if you want to do one in your area and you go, why, it'd be great to do. I've got a perfect spot. You know, I've got, boots on the ground here to help you, that kind of stuff. send along your ideas because now over the next month or two is the time to make your suggestions as I start working on the 2020 workshop season, which I usually try to announce after our last workshop. Probably be October this year, I'll announce the season for the next year. But really thrilled that all the workshops this year sold out, and we had a blast at Joshua Tree. So looking forward to Sonoma Coast. I've got a great itinerary for them. We've got a great place to stay. And the Humboldt Redwoods, I've got another great setup there. So big fun. You got to come out and join us one of these years. Maybe 2020 will be the year that you add your name to the list as well. A big thanks to our Inner Circle members for supporting this podcast and all the projects that we work on as part of our virtual camera club. The Patreon site that we have turned into, as I've mentioned over the last few weeks, one of my favorite areas to hang out. I love the people there. I love the vibe. I love having a place where we can talk privately. It's really just super. It's really super. And it's great for me for getting feedback and thoughts from, you know, folks that are on our inner circle and mean so much to our success. If you want to become part of the inner circle, if you want to support the show, support the Nimble Photographer podcast that's new, help me with these other projects and be part of the conversation on our Patreon site. All you have to do is click on the tile that's on all the pages of the digital story, become a member, go over there, take a look at what's going on, you know, support this endeavor. Not only will I thank you, but everyone who enjoys the show will thank you as well. And finally, a big shout out to our friends at Red River Paper. I just got a new shipment of fine art stock that I can't wait to test. I had a busy week this last week because everyone was graduating. All my clients were graduating, and my other clients had springtime shoots lined up. So I did a lot of photography and not very much printing. This week is going to slow down just a bit, and I'm hoping to start testing the new paper. I'm going to work on an article that talks about Micro Four Thirds to fine art prints. And I'm going to have some excellent paper selections to recommend. This is really going to be a neat piece. And it's also a project that I'm doing for me and for the film camera shop. So a lot of good hooks here. And Red River Paper is at the bottom of it all. A big thanks to them for supporting this show. They have a tile on all the pages of the digital story. And they have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed my summer tips. I hope you get out there and shoot. Be safe. Take good care of yourself. Get some good shots. And then come back and join me next week for another show. Until then, bye-bye now.